Ajahn yesterday afternoon, and just briefly at breakfast this morning, you were mentioning about how just studying in the books and learning what the texts say is not enough, because it really has to be the Dhamma in daily life when we're with people or around people.
First of all, should we understand what the book on the teachings is for? You get that? What I mean? So first of all, should we know what the book of the teachings is for?
Yes. What is the book of the teachings for, Lucas?
I think this is to develop my understanding. It's like,
I think that it's an introduction only to understand reality right now. Otherwise, it's useless, because now, this moment, what is there now? That is what the Buddha taught. So without the learning on the teachings about realities right now, there is no introduction at all to understand what this moment is. Otherwise, it's only like reading about the story of realities until death, without understanding any reality at all. But by knowing the point of studying is to understand whatever appears now, it will lead to more attention to whatever appears now, to really understand it. Because that which does not appear now hasn't arisen yet, or it has gone completely. So only this moment, if one can understand the truth of it, what is it that we take for I see, or my life, or I hear, or I think? But actually, it's only different reality, one at a time. For example, Buddha didn't teach us not to understand whatever appears like seeing right now, but what we take for world or people or thing or I must be at moment of seeing, moment of hearing. So what the teachings talk about is now at this moment of seeing, to understand the true nature of seeing, at moments of hearing right now, to understand the nature of it, until there can be the understanding of all realities in the world as it is, one at a time. Okay, we can think about many things which are taught in the teachings, like vitakka, vichara, manasikara, lobha, dosa, understanding, panya. But when it's not here now, can there be the understanding of it? It's only thinking about it. But if it's right thinking, it will be right vitakka, touching on reality right now. And it is just like what is said, everything. Like seeing right now, there is seeing. From book, one knows that seeing arises and falls away, and it sees visible object. Just only this, one has to study long, 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 long time until there's no doubt about seeing right now. And that is the only way to understand what's meant by anatta. Because it's not a word, that seeing is not I, it's only a reality. It is conditioned, so it cannot be anything at all, only that which arises and falls away instantly, rapidly, as soon as there is the idea of shape and form as something or someone. So only this moment is true. The other moment hasn't come yet. So sound is true when it appears and it's gone. How very little understanding of it, just only from book. That's not enough at all, because one is learning or one is thinking about it, but not studying or understanding whatever appears now. So there are many levels of understanding the teachings. Intellectual level or direct understanding or at moment of penetrating the true nature of it. So there cannot be the idea of self anymore. When Panya develops to that degree that it can understand at this moment, no word at all, because we do not need to tell what is seen, right? No thinking about it, but it is seen. So what is in the book can be understood and direct experience with understanding when Panya develops naturally. When it's not natural, it's the idea of I am doing something in order to know it. And when one dies, no more in this world, passed away, what about the book study? Introduction to realities that Panya doesn't develop to the degree that even just a moment of understanding whatever appears is so worthwhile in this life. For example, hardness is so very common. There is touching, many, many moments. But the understanding, is there or not? Or no understanding at all? Seeing sees many times a day. What about the understanding of it? Hearing hears, it now hears, it hears. A reality which can hear, hears it, no one there. And it's gone completely. So life is the succession of different realities from moment to moment, that's all. Could you remember your lunch yesterday? The taste? Remember?
And that was delicious.
I forgot the taste completely.
There was a lot of blubber.
And now, not the taste, but the seeing. Yeah. See? And the hearing. Realities pass on and on and on with ignorance. And the book is only introduction to understanding it.
I had a little chat with Peter and he said he has read quite a lot and he's also interested in reality. And I want to ask Peter, do you think it's easy or difficult to understand reality now?
Well, you need to specify the question a little bit because...
I said that Ajahn's first question to you would be, what is reality now?
So yeah, well,
what is reality?
I agree with Ajahn that reality is now. So whatever there is now, it is a reality. So I agree completely. And I think that whatever knowledge I have, it is nice to have some knowledge. But the real knowledge is right now, so I don't actually need books to, and I don't need any kind of sophisticated knowledge to know about reality, because reality is just happening, and the question is whether the reality of right now is like kind of sati or no sati. So, for example, if you are touching, is it touching with knowing? With knowing means I'm aware of touching. So, if it's like touching with sati, with sati comes other factors. You can say factors, whatever. But what I'm trying to say is that if you are aware of the present moment, that's good, because otherwise, if you are aware, but if all this kind of knowledge comes to you and you start to think about it, what it is, then for me it's just too sophisticated, in a sense that you're not actually in the present moment. You're actually somewhere in the books over there, thinking about the touching moment. That's just my like kind of theory. That's what I.
So what's the book talk about? Right awareness or direct awareness?
Well, you mean like sati?
We use the word sati, but when sati arises, it performs its function of being aware with right understanding.
Yeah. Well, the books say a lot, you know, it's like, it's...
So one can know whether at this moment it's only the kaya vinyana which experiences softness or hardness as usual, or at that moment it appears to sati, which is aware, even very shortly, and with panya begins to understand that. Is that what we learned? Only a reality. That which experiences is now experiencing hardness, and hardness is no one, no thing. It's only that characteristic which is hard. And there's not only hardness, there's seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, thinking all the time. They're all realities that can be known by sati and panya, when there's enough conditions for sati to arise. And to answer Kun Sarah's question about is it difficult or easy to understand reality right now?
Well, for me.
For anyone.
I can only say for me.
For anyone, because they're seeing, everyone sees. So the answer is not in words. But seeing now can be the answer, whether one knows or realize the nature of it. As at the moment of seeing, there is no thinking about visible object, because at that moment it begins to be aware, to attend to the characteristic which sees now as a reality. So no word to explain at the moment when it begins to be aware. It learns little by little, gradually, to understand what one has read quite a lot. And one doesn't have to think, oh, this moment is the moment of experiencing visible object. That is only thinking from learning. But at moment when there is conditions for understanding directly with direct awareness, and so one can see the difference between knowing it theoretically and begin to understand, and it develops little by little. So one knows short or long time to understand that which is now seeing. Which sees now. See, the answer is that.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. That's what I actually think that. I mean, it's not... For me, you cannot actually say about it, you cannot speak about it, because it's, I mean, it's unspeakable in a sense that it's so, I don't know, inside or whatever.
Yeah,
so.
But we can speak after that. At the moment of studying or beginning to understand, there is no word.
Because every moment that we speak of is just, it's past, it's dead. So we can, I mean, we can experience the now, but we cannot say it about it, how it actually is, because it's gone, right? So every time we want to say something about now, it's actually a lie, because, you know, you cannot say about now, because now it's always, it's, I don't know how many moments of it, it's gone already, so we can only say about the past, actually. So if someone asks me what is reality, whatever I'm going to say is going to be not true, because the reality is completely changed in that moment, at the other moment. So by asking about reality, I can say nothing, because it's gone away.
Nothing as object of understanding, or one thing at a time is the object of understanding. So that one can say that it's gone. At that very moment, there must be a reality which panya sees, and then it's gone. So panya learns to know that that reality arises and falls away.
Yeah. But it's, yeah, I agree, but it's not, you can learn from it, from the books. You can learn the technical ways of realities, how they develop and how they pass away. But you never know the reality. So.
But the Buddha spoke about the present moment. That was what his teaching was about.
But present moment for him?
For everyone.
For understanding.
So it is, it can be.
Well, yeah,
spoken
but
upon.
But the difference is that it's a method. A method is like expanded to the whole of reality. So it's like a method of, I don't know, making a cake. Whenever you want to make a cake, you can always do it by having a method. So it's like the same thing with Dhamma, that you can just use it whenever. But when the Buddha was living, he was living in his reality. But he was giving a method to everyone to know reality for themselves.
Well, I think he was describing the reality of the present moment so that others could come to understand it.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, I call it a method of understanding one's present moment, you can say.
And what do you mean by method?
Well, method is like a teaching, sort of a way, a path to get to know reality. But it's not like Buddha was saying about my reality, because Buddha didn't know me, so he couldn't say anything about me, and he wasn't saying to me or about me. So it's just a teaching for the reality, and I should use the method that Buddha gave, and I should use it. So that's what I do.
So what is the method?
Well, the method is Four Noble Paths and Eightfold Noble
Four Noble Truths.
Four Noble Truths and Four Noble Paths. Yeah.
Right now, you mean?
Right now? Well, yeah, I try to use it right now, yeah. As well. I mean, I try to be Samadhiti, Samavaya. I try to.
So, what is Samadhiti?
Yeah, well, right view.
Of?
Of Anicca Anatta Dukkha.
Of?
Anicca Anatta Dukkha.
Of?
Yeah.
Nietzsche of.
Anicca of. Yeah, well, Anicca of the reality.
Right now, you mean?
Yeah, it's changing. Yeah. I mean, and I can see it's changing.
And who knows that?
The perceiving mind, the vijnana, probably. That's technical stuff.
Vijnana is different from panya.
But does panya know?
But panya is not vijnana.
Yeah, panya. Is, but panya is. Can panya know something?
Certainly.
Because what I was always used to think about panya is that panya is a quality of a mind. So panya itself, it cannot know. It can only be a quality which, and it comes to the mind. But it's not like, panya is not an entity. It's not like an ontological thing. It's just the quality of the mind, which is like one of other qualities is like dosa. Dosa is also a quality of the mind. Dosa also comes to the mind, just like panya. I mean, in different conditions. So for me, it's panya cannot know. Just like dosa cannot hate.
You mean panya cannot know?
Well, in a sense, that it's not atta, it's not some being, right? It's just the quality of the mind. It's good quality and it comes to the mind, right? No?
Is it real?
Is it real? Is Panya real?
Yep.
As a quality? Yeah. Why not?
When you say quality, do you mean something that's always there?
No. No, there needs to be certain conditions for Panya to arise.
And when this quality Panya arises, what is its characteristic?
Well, you mean what is Panya?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's I can say from my experience, from my understanding, what is Panya? Panya is just knowing. Yeah, you can say knowing things from different perspectives.
Understanding. So.
Yeah, like Panya.
Right. Actually, so Panya has the characteristic of understanding.
Yeah.
If it doesn't understand anything, then it's not Panya.
But it's not. Yeah, but the thing is, it's not Panya that understands. It's there are lots of qualities which have to be in the mind for the Panya to arise. It's not the one Panya that understands. But that's.
So you're saying the mind understands, and then that means the mind has the quality of Panya.
Sort of, yeah. Yeah.
Is it citta is citta and Panya is Panya?
Citta is citta. Oh, citta can have Panya.
But citta itself is citta. It can never be anything else.
Okay, so now I have to ask, what is citta then?
That which experiences an object. Now, seeing, not me, citta. But it's a reality which can experience, which means it's now seeing a reality as its object. Hearing hears, it cannot see.
Yeah.
Different citta, different conditions.
Yeah.
So citta cannot understand anything at all. Whenever it arises, it's that the faculty of experiencing an object. Like now, at moment of touching, citta experiences hardness. At moment of seeing, it's citta which sees.
Yeah.
So citta arises to experience an object.
All right, so there is a citta with Panya, right?
No, citta is not Panya.
No, citta with Panya?
With many mental factors. At least 7 mental factors.
Yeah, so we can say that...
But the 7 factors are not citta. Each one is its own.
Well, you mean citta-sikas, right?
Right.
So, yeah, but there's Abhidhamma. Alright, but yeah, because you know, I know Abhidhamma a little bit, but I forget Abhidhamma when I talk. I just talk.
But you see, what is Dhamma and what is Abhidhamma? Are they different?
Well, it depends, because Abhidhamma is higher Dhamma. So.
What do you mean by higher?
That's not. It's just it's the explanation that there used to be in this world, sort of, that there's Dhamma and there's Abhidhamma. But I don't believe that, so I'm just repeating what they say. But for me, there's no difference, of course, because everything is Dhamma. Yeah. There is no higher Dhamma or lower Dhamma or whatever.
Yeah.
So, but the thing is that. Okay, I read suttas, and in the suttas, there's actually everything which is in Abhidhamma, there is in the suttas. But in Abhidhamma, the commentators, they kind of developed it, and they made some sort of,
Many books on Abhidhamma?
Sorry?
How many books on Abhidhamma?
In the Abhidhamma Pitaka?
Tipitaka, Abhidhamma Pitaka.
How many books there are in Abhidhamma? 9?
No.
7?
No? 7.
Maybe, sorry. But I haven't read them all, so don't get me wrong.
Now Abhidhamma.
Is now Abhidhamma? You can call it that, it's just Dhamma for me.
The truth of it?
Yeah, I mean, there is truth right now, yeah.
So, Dhamma is Abhidhamma.
You can say that, yeah.
Can say, oh, it's true.
Yeah, but I use a different terminology, you know. I just use everything as Dhamma. So for me, it's not Abhidhamma or whatever. It's just Dhamma.
Yeah.
It's just word, Abhidhamma. It's Abhidhamma. Okay, you can call it like that.
So what is real? Because you said that these are words. And what is not word?
What is not word?
Mm-hmm. What is not word?
What is not just words, but is real?
Well, the present moment, which is already gone, mm-hmm. and I can say nothing about it. So that's real, and you know, I can try to say about the past moment, which just passed, but it's gonna be
just for to say or what?
Well, I experience the now in the present moment.
What?
Well, all this ayatana that
just one ayatana at a time.
One
ayatana? We talk just one word at a time in order to understand clearly.
I don't follow.
One ayatana now, please.
One ayatana. Oh, yeah, I can see, for example.
So seeing is ayatana, right?
Yeah. Is it not?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But that cannot be just seeing when we use the word ayatana. It means the meeting place or point of realities now.
Of course, there is an object, there is a eye, and there is a consciousness.
So how many ayatanas at this moment of seeing?
At moment of seeing?
Yes. Well,
I mean, okay. Overall, there are 18 ayatanas.
No.
At the moment of seeing, you've said there is seeing,
yeah,
there's
three.
The object
yeah.
that's seen and the eye base.
Yeah.
That's three ayatanas.
Yeah.
Any other ayatana?
Said that conscious experiencing.
The experiencing, the object that's experienced, and the
eye vinyana. Base. Vinyana
is the seeing. Vinyana means chitta. So vinyana and chitta are the same.
All right.
So seeing is vinyana, is chitta. So that's one ayatana. And the visible object is one ayatana. And the eye base is one ayatana that meets together.
Three.
Any other ayatana?
In the process of seeing?
Yes.
Not yet. Only one moment.
One moment, or just this moment of the moment of actual seeing. Any other ayatana, or just three?
I don't go into that.
Are we just able to call it or to understand it as why they are ayatana?
Why there is ayatana?
Mm-hmm.
Because of the conditions, probably.
Can anyone be missing at this moment of seeing?
Actually, you can if you don't have sati.
No. Can there be seeing without visible object, without the eye base, without jetasikas, which are there?
So that's the other ayatana at that moment, the dhammayatana, because there has to, with that moment of seeing, there have to be seven mental factors that arise with the seven jetasikas, like contact, for example.
Yeah, I mean, alright.
Can there be no pasa at that moment?
No, the pasa, there always has to be pasa, actually.
So, pasayatana?
Yeah.
Is there as dhammayatana?
Dhamma?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Dhammayatana. Pasa is there as dhammayatana.
Dhamma?
Dhammayatana.
Dhamma, D-H.
Yeah,
D-H.
All the chaitasikas are included in dhammayatana.
Right.
So the seven chaitasikas that have to arise.
Yeah, right.
That's why they are ayatana, not just that, why we call them ayatana.
But yeah, I mean, okay, but the ayatanas is just is something you cannot control, right?
All dhammas are uncontrollable.
Uncontrollable. All right. So if something is uncontrollable, you actually cannot. I mean,
no one then.
But you cannot change anything, right?
No one.
So if there is no change, means that there is no interaction with it. I mean, you cannot change it. You cannot interact. You cannot
just
do anything
understand.
About it. Just understand. That's it. So it's beyond your control. It's beyond anyone's control.
Right.
So
that's why they are all dhammas.
Yeah. All right. So
and abhidhammas.
All right.
And paramadhammas.
All right. So if they are, I mean, if they are out of control, we can just look and understand and whatever. So, you know, for me, it doesn't matter if there are 7 or 28.
Right.
It's just, it is, and I can perceive it. I don't need to know if there are 7.
I or who is perceiving?
Sorry?
I or who is perceiving?
The perceiving the mind, the, you know, the...
In the mind, do you mean something else?
No.
At moment of seeing, what are there?
Sorry?
At moment of seeing, what are there?
Well, there is the mind and the object.
Citta, right?
Yeah.
And the object.
Yeah.
Right, and...
Yeah, and the, you know, the, you can say that...
Ayatana. What must be there?
Well, the vijnana, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the seeing.
But that's vijnana is experiencing the visible object.
Yeah. There's nothing more. There's just that. It's just three, like, you know.
Eye sense.
Well, yeah, I mean, the eye, the object, mm-hmm. and the citta between them.
Yeah.
And,
that's it.
And
the citta-seekers.
Like, oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
No one, no idea that it comes to here and there. To the mind at all, because at that very moment there are only four realities, no more than that.
Yeah, right.
Ajahn, what do you mean four?
Four ayatanas.
But you said four realities right now.
He meant four.
Four ayatanas.
At moment of seeing, there are four ayatanas.
So if there's any idea of it coming to the mind, that must be thinking later. But at the moment of seeing, it's just that moment of seeing.
Yeah.
And earlier, the point Ajahn was making about experiencing and panya is that actually the citta or the vijnana, in this case seeing, just experiences its object, nothing else. It doesn't think, it doesn't feel, it doesn't like, it doesn't dislike, it doesn't understand.
Yeah.
It doesn't contact, it just experiences. And the other citta seekers with it, like Pasa and Vedana, they perform their functions. So each one experiences that same object. Pasa experiences the same object as seeing, vijnana or citta, whichever, whatever you like to call it.
Yeah.
And at that moment, the Pasa contacts the object.
Yeah.
The Vedana feels the object.
Yeah.
So the citta seekers perform a function.
Mm-hmm.
So when we were talking earlier about panya, which arises at a different moment, it performs its function. So at a moment of understanding, the citta just experiences the object, and it's the panya which has to understand that
but
object.
But panya doesn't always come. Sometimes
it just depends whether there are conditions for it to
arise. So that's what I was saying about qualities. Okay, so we have different terminology. So yeah, I agree to that. It's just what I'm saying is quality, so it sometimes comes, sometimes it doesn't come. So it's just that.